This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, broadcasting live from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's July 7th, episode 1207, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world. California. Oh my gosh, Debbie's in here trying to take pictures and video of me while we're doing that. I'm like, I'm not dressed for that.
Good morning, everybody. By the way, it's July the 8th. I screwed up the show notes. That was my fault this morning.
Oh, it's the 8th. Yeah. See, I don't know. Oh, yeah, you could tell me it's January 3rd. I'd read it. Morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm absolutely, utterly exhausted after yesterday of being in this school and just learning so much and doing so much. So my body hurts. I've been riding horses like crazy. I'm going to let you take over, Glenn. I'm still getting coffee.
Okay. All right. Good. But I think everybody really wants to hear about your adventures, not mine. So,
well, we're going to tell them, but we'll have to have Jennifer talk about what's coming up on today's show first, and then we'll get straight into it.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we will take a walk on the wild side as Monty Roberts himself and Jamie fill us in on their experiences thus far in the first ever Gentling Wild Horses Clinic at Flag Is Up Farms, and we're going to have a crappy list or two and your favorite headlines from the horse world. So stay tuned for the funny, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to listener Jackie Rollins from Texas. Hi, Jackie. She's a listener to many of the HRN shows, including, she said, she's listened to Hittums from day one. So we got to have her as a guest and do a listener highlight over on the driving radio show because she has Gypsy Vanners. She has 25 Gypsy Vanners at her farm in Texas. She trains them and raises them and breeds them, and she does all kinds of things, and she is doing a great job with the Gypsy Vanners, and we had her on just to talk about that and to learn a little bit more about her. So if you want to hear about that, it's on the latest Driving Radio Show. You can find it on our app at the Horse Radio Network or go to drivingradioshow.com. And I think, Jamie, are you there? Did we lose you? I think we've lost Jamie, so we're going to try and get her back right now. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, make sure that we didn't
ready to hear all the story.
Just making sure we didn't lose everybody here, that's all.
All right, I'm
are
here.
Are you back?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I lost all my audio. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, and you're breaking up a little bit on us this morning, so we'll see how it goes. I just did my daily whinny, so that's good. Did you have a daily whinny, or did you want to get right into it?
No, I actually have a daily whinny.
All right.
My daily whinny goes out to, has nothing to do with being here. It is for our friend Cosmic One, Zenyatta's first baby. You guys, he races again today. His second race ever. I know, it's today at Belmont, race 7. He's going to be ridden by Rajiv Marah, and the post time is 4:26 Eastern Standard Time, okay? 4:26, keep that in mind, Belmont Park, race 7. I'm so excited. Remember his last race, sadly. He did not come in first in the last, actually, he came in dead last. So we're looking for improvement, but he was The only horse that had never raced, and I'm not making excuses, but he is going to do much better today. I feel confident. He's been, he had a bullet work last week, and he is ready to go.
All right. We'll be watching. I know our listener, Dawn Dean, says she has her DVR set. She's ready. She's going to watch it. See, now I can't set my DVR because I've got mine set for Wimbledon, so that's what I'll be watching. Jamie, are you still there? Are you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm kind of coming. It's kind of How's your internet this morning?
You're cutting in and out for us too. So what I would say is restart your Skype. We'll hang up on you, and you can get your Skype restarted and do it that way. Okay. Oop, I think we've lost her again. We might end up on the phone with Jamie this morning, but we'll get her on. Okay. One way or the other, we're going to make it happen. You know, we're not doing as bad as Bob and Cherry's, a show I've been listening to for years. Their morning drive radio show. And they're syndicated. They're out of Charlotte, but they're syndicated in 100 markets, I think. And they're on a road trip right now. So we're not doing as bad as they are. There was a picture this morning of their SUV, rented SUV, chase car. They also have a motorhome, and their rented SUV chase car was in the campground pool. And apparently they also yesterday, and I can see this happening. I wonder if this happens all the time. They had their awning out on their RV and apparently drove off without putting the awning and hit a tree or a pole or something and took the awning right off the camper, which is also rented. So I do hope that their company provided some rental insurance. So if we just have a problem getting Jamie on the air here in the next minute or two, I'm not worried about that so much because I haven't cost the company about what I would imagine is a lot of money when you dunk the SUV in the pool.
In the swimming pool. Right, you have to drain your pool and start over. I mean, there's crap on the bottom of a car you don't really want in your swimming pool.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about the pool. And I don't know exactly how it happened. I just saw a post on their Facebook page this morning. So I don't know exactly how it happened either. But Jamie is going to hopefully be back with us shortly here.
Restarting Skype always takes longer than you think it should.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure she heard that part, so I don't know what's going on. We might just try and give her cell phone a call if we can't get her on Skype. Skype's tricky. We had a good connection with her on Monday, but not so good today.
Not so good today. Someone within the vicinity is playing video games.
Yes. Jamie, are you back with us? I don't think we have her. All right, I'm going to try and we'll try and add her back in on her cell phone here and see if that works any better. Now, the problem with that is we usually keep our cell phones off during shows, so I'm not sure she's going to pick up.
Yeah, well, she might have turned it off, which is what we usually do.
So. Yeah, so.
Send a smoke signal out. Go old school, Glenn.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here. It's not Skype. Our internet just decided to peter down to, like, you know, one or two bars. So.
Oh, yeah, because I was going to say you were so good on Monday, and today it just conked out.
Yeah, so Debbie's checking upstairs to see if she's running a speed test on the audio up there to see if it gets any better. But for now, you'll have to deal with me on the phone.
All right, very good. Well, let's find out about your adventures the last 2 days.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, let me say that Monty Roberts is part horse. That guy is part horse. I know that, you know, I don't care what anybody says. If you sit here and watch him with these horses, and it's just absolutely amazing. So what we're doing is we have three wild Mustangs in this course that have never been touched. And we have what they call the gentling pen, which is, I'll take better pictures of it this afternoon so you guys can see, but it is basically, it's not stocks, it's a chute that the horses run in, and he teaches the horses and has taught us how to make the horses more comfortable in the chute than they are outside of the chute at the beginning phases of this. And so the horses, it's amazing to watch. They start by running around kind of frantic, and there's three or four people in there. And you make them, you put pressure on them when they're outside of the chute, and you take all pressure off of them. And your body language goes submissive and, you know, easy when they're out of the chute, when they're in the chute, sorry. So they go in there, and all of a sudden, within like 2 minutes, the horses are running into the chute and standing still. They're like, oh. And I asked Monty, I said, do they think they're hiding, you know, in the chute? And he thinks that maybe. So there's sliding doors. You close them in the chute. And then you start an approach and retreat method where you approach them and a retreat. And there's like, there's probably five or six students. So each one of us has taken, there's like three of us on each Mustang. And you approach and retreat and start with, you know, just going next to them, and then you go and you touch them near the withers, and eventually you start broadening your physical touch. So it becomes a lot more. Now, at some point you bring in a, and I know you were wondering what this is, Glenn, the arm.
Yes, the fake arm with a fake hand.
Yes, the arm, you start showing them the arm. Because Monty is, and everybody here is all about safety. And you wouldn't want to stick your hand into a chute and reach down and, you know, get your arm between a horse's leg and the wall, and or have them kick, and or have them do, I mean, anything can happen. So the arm is kind of your protective barrier. The horse I worked with yesterday, he bit the arm repeatedly. Like, he was chomping on it, and he wasn't bad. He was just testing it. He was almost like a puppy, you know, in that puppy phase where you got to pet him and they bite you. And so it was just, don't make a big deal out of it, you know, and don't stop what you're doing. And just the, what I love about these horses and what we've discussed is that the Mustangs will tell on you. You do something out of their comfort zone, you do something too fast, they're like, nah. So I've made several mistakes where you're supposed to approach them and move around them like you're in slow in oil. You know, like you have oil, you're moving through oil. So everything is slow. Well, I get a little, I don't know, twitchy or something. And man, they know. They're like, nope, nope, you can't touch me. So it's so interesting to see how you can broaden their mind, and then to learn how to get a halter on these guys. And I've been, it's so fascinating to me. I don't know if you guys are into it, probably Jennifer is learning to tie all these special knots. I love knot tying, and I've learned three new knots that have helped everything. I'm such a nerd about that.
Well, but you know, it is amazing how important knots are to us horse people. They're really important. And I suck at it. Jennifer has to tie all my knots for me. So
I tie all the knots for Chad, and Chad's like, you learned three new knots yesterday. You tie knots all the time.
See, that's the difference. Chad's Air Force, not Navy. If he was Navy, he'd know the knots.
I know. If he was in the Navy, he'd be tying knots for me. But no, it's been so exciting and so fun, and so much progress has been made. One guy that's doing the class, and you know, I had some listener questions about, you know, are they behind fences because the horses are dangerous? Did he choose less dangerous horses for this program? And actually, when they went to select these Mustangs, there were a couple that were, apparently one of the girls really wanted this black one to come and be a part of the program. And he was super friendly and like puppy dog up on the fence. And they actually did not select him because they thought, he's going to be easy. Let's leave him for somebody else. Let's take the hard ones. So we have one that was facility born, and the other one was caught like a month ago. I mean, it's super on, and I'll tell them about that one next. And then the third Mustang, the big one, was he facility born? And so two facility born ones, which you would think that would make them a little nicer. It does not.
Actually, I would kind of think it would make them grumpier because they're in a smaller space and they're growing up crowded, you know?
One of them, the one of the facility, the one I dealt with yesterday is we call him very cheeky. Like, he's very in your face, and he's the one that was biting the arm and mouthing the arm and kind of getting in your space, which to me was more intimidating than the one who was wild caught 3 months ago or 2 months ago, because he is tremendously afraid. He's flight, flight, flight. This horse is a little bit...
going to take you on.
Yeah, I might take you on. So to me, he was a little scarier to deal with, because day one, I had the one that was he looks like a little Navajo Indian pony. So we started calling him Navajo. And so he is super flight, super flight, super flight. And then this one's like, I don't know. I think I'll get you. So it was interesting. And after you touch them everywhere and you do everything and you get a halter on them, then open the gate. You open the gate really fast, and then they come out and you start teaching them how to lead. And I think that's the intimidating part for me, because I think that when you open the gate, you immediately think they're going to charge you. But they don't. They're more afraid, and they're more... They seem bewildered. That's a great, great word Debbie just used. But we've got these three Mustangs, and then one of the guys that is taking the class brought his own horse. And he's had this horse for 2 years, and they captured this horse at Edwards Air Force Base in California, which is in the middle of nowhere, which probably somebody drove up and just turned him loose. And this is a big, giant paint horse. But he's not a paint. I mean, we don't know what he is. And he is angry. He is mad, and he fights, and he is incredible. And we don't mess with that one. Monty's been spending the time in the mornings with him. And it's scary to watch this horse. I can't believe this guy's had this horse for 2 years. They haven't touched it in 2 years. And he is... he is so abused and so angry about it. And so they put him in the untouched chute, and he immediately is trying to just kick the walls down and kick it. When we started yesterday, or day before yesterday, Monty would walk up to him, just an approach, and he would kick. And he wanted to kill you, just wanted to kill everybody. And this horse is, I mean, it was to the point where I think I've cried at least three times a day, just from like the emotions of watching these horses. But this horse did not make me cry. He was like, I was scared watching, and I was scared watching Monty with him. I've never seen anything like this before. And that's why the guy came to the course. He's like, well, apparently he's been to every trainer in the world, and one trainer roped him once and got a halter on him. And that's the only thing any trainer's ever been able to do. And finally somebody said, the only place you're going to be able to go is to Monty Roberts. So they brought him here for this class, and we're watching this. And we're watching Monty so patient and so kind and so gentle with these horses. And he comes up and he approaches and retreats. I'm going to tell you, yesterday they let him out of the chute, and the horse followed Monty everywhere. Just followed him. And I started bawling. Debbie's crying. Everybody's crying. It was just the most amazing, beautiful thing to see, where the horse is like, oh, yeah, you're not so bad. You're not so bad. I don't know how far or what goals they have, but the fact that he got a halter on him and the horse came out of the chute, and I thought, he's crazy to let him out of there. He's going to get killed. And he opens the chute, and the horse runs out. And he's like, hey, how are you? When they got the halter off of the horse, he still followed Monty around. And this is not a horse that's been even in a round pen. You know, he's just been in the gentleman chute, and he's learned that humans are okay. I mean, he's still got a long way to go, but it was so amazing to watch and so inspiring and just incredible.
Very, very cool. Now, do you, I assume this is a small class. There's not a ton of students.
Yes. There's, let's see, I think there's seven of us.
Oh, well, so you're getting a lot of hands on then, and getting to getting to play and watch and be, you know, be right up front with it. Now, you also mentioned to me and the listeners, wait a minute. Listeners are going to be very excited about this. You also mentioned to me...
Cross the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
That you got to do something with the Mighty Thor that you never thought you'd get to do.
Oh my gosh. My life was made yesterday. Just made. Like, it was one of those moments, like, okay, I could die now and I'd die happy. It'd be totally fine. I got a riding lesson, an impromptu riding lesson from Monty yesterday on Thor. So everybody is going to go out for a trail ride afterwards and just hack around, and Monty's going to get on Chrome. And I said, hey, can I tag along, you know, and ride one of my horses with you? Of course, please come. So I get on Thor and we go into the arena. And everybody is on a willing partner's horse, which means that their horse is perfect.
Yeah, they're just all trained. For those that don't know, explain the willing partner's horses.
Willing partner's horses have been through the entire Monty program. And, I mean, these horses just do everything. What would you say the definition of a willing partner's horse is, Debbie? They're a willing partner. That's what she said. They are a willing partner, whatever you want to do. And so I'm on Thor, and everybody else is on these willing partners. And they're all cantering around on these loose reins on the rail. The horses are going straight. And I'm like, well, I'll canter, you know. And of course, Thor is a bit of a runaway. When you pick up the trot, he wants to canter. And when you pick up the canter, he wants to gallop. And it's... I've been trying to deal with this at home. So I just rode up there and I said, Monty, since you're here, can I ask you a question? I said, my horse doesn't do that. And I'm pointing at the horses that are willingly on a loose rein, just loping around the arena. And he's like, well, let me see what you got. And I pick up the canter, and of course, Thor picks up the canter, gallop. And he's like, okay. Brings me over. He's like, I can help you. I will help you with this horse. And has me pick up the canter. And he's like, the reason he pulls is because you're pulling. Stop touching him. Leave him alone. He goes, he's looking for a loose rein because he's never had one. Which is true, because when a horse gallops, the last thing you freaking want to do is let go of the rein. Well, he didn't suggest that I just let go. He suggested that when he goes too fast, start circling. And do 3 or 4 circles until he slows down, like small circles, like 5-meter circles, and then chuck the reins at him and let him go. And he goes, the second he starts to get too fast, circle him again. I'm not kidding you, Glenn. In literally 6 minutes, my horse, Thor, is cantering on a loose rein. It was amazing. I've never had a horse that kind of ran away like that, you know. So it was something totally new to me. Really?
By the way, I have the same problem, and it is counterintuitive, isn't it? Because I have the same problem when I'm driving scooter.
You can't circle though. What do you do?
Your circles are just a little bigger. But it's the same problem, and I totally get what you're talking about, because I have the same thing, and I also want to, you know, maintain contact. And when Wendy was here, she's like, just let him go. Just to, you know, give him his head, he'll figure it out. And he did, you know. And
yeah,
wow, that is amazing that you had the same situation with him. Now you're doing much smaller circles. So
smaller circles, and my body. I was cowgirl Jamie yesterday. I'm telling you what. I mean, I rode. I had to ride. It was a dead. I'm like letting my horse run away. You know, I'm like okay, and then turn. And then circle.
Yeah, but you've had a few thoroughbreds that have done that during shows, so you're fine. You're good.
Yeah. No, but it's different when you're asking for it and when you're not asking for it, and you totally feel helpless and out of control, you know. And what's amazing is after this, Monty said, you know, I can help you with him over the next 2 weeks. We'll get him, you know, really, really nice. And I was oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. And I said, can I also have one of these arenas that is super giant with perfect footing in it? So like, that's really, I would like to have one of those too. You know, my tiny arena in my tiny little farm in Phoenix, I couldn't have done that. It just wouldn't have been possible. So it was so nice to have all that space and hopefully fix it here, you know, before I go home. But just to let those know who, it was just absolutely awesome. Like I said, the guy's part horse, just part horse.
Now, you, this is your first time at Flags Up Farm, too, which I haven't been to yet. We're hoping to in the fall. And it's like an incredible place. Kind of describe it to everybody about what you talk about the pens a little bit there, but what they have.
So there are huge grass pastures. There are trees everywhere. It is so lush. I'm looking out the office window, and there's many, many buildings. I'm looking out the office window, and there's just flowers everywhere. I mean, obviously, it's summer in California. It's just perfect. There are, let's see, you got the main barn, which is almost seems like the big barn at the Kentucky Horse Park. It's huge, and that's where they have racehorses here. And there's a training track, a mile training track. And on the other side of the classroom, and there is the Willing Partners barn, and there's a outbuildings, and there's quarantine facilities. This is where people bring their horses that are need quarantine from Australia. They come here. So it's super busy here all the time. There's people coming and going, and there's a sign out front that says, visitors are welcome, please come in. You know, they just are so nice here. Pat and Monty are just such nice people, and Debbie is such a nice person. And so there is just visitors welcome, visitor information signs everywhere. Here's this. And they have a loose walker that is really incredible too, that they just put up. And it's basically, it's not a circle. It goes straight and then they turn right and it goes straight again. And it's basically like the size of a box stall that just moves forward, and all of the horses just get in there and they just walk around, and they keep all the horses fit and walking through there. It's almost like a hot walker, but they don't like the horses single line lunging and keeping the horses on a tight circle like that throws them out of alignment, apparently. So this is something that keeps them straight walking. And it's better.
I've never seen one of those before.
I'll take some pictures because it's hard to even say it's the only one in the United States.
I'm having trouble imagining what it is. You know, is it kind of just shove them along or what? But
I'm sorry. I don't even know how to describe it. It's early.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, definitely take a picture of that. I'd love to see that because I've never seen one of those before.
It's incredible. So it's neat. And so there's just beautiful trees, and the deer are everywhere all day long. There's just deer walking around, and Monty and Pat's house is up on the hill, and it overlooks everything, and it's incredible. They have a pool that Debbie invited Lucas to go swim in yesterday. So I take Lucas up there, and of course, you know, I didn't bring many swim trunks or anything, so he's totally naked, and the pool is too cold for Mr. Arizona. So what does he do? He runs out the pool and runs up into Monty's backyard and naked. And so I'm down and we're down in after lunch. The session is over, you know, session starting, and everybody's sitting down ready to listen. And Monty stands up and he's like, I saw a naked man in my yard today. I was like, sorry.
That'd be mine.
I was like, get away from the window. Come here.
Well, better okay. It was Lucas than Chad running around naked in the backyard. So
I was like, this is a serious moment. You guys are getting to the brass tacks of the horse training here. We're doing this and this. And then, no, there was a naked man running around in my backyard today. Sorry. I was like, get over here. Come back.
Even at Monty's house, you're that girl.
I know. It's terrible.
Well, he can back that all that up. He's waiting for us right now.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That was embarrassing to let him hear about.
You want to? Next up, we have our guest, of course, Monty Roberts, where Jamie is hanging out over there. And of course, you can hear Monty regularly on the Horsemanship Radio Show. That is our daughter, Debbie Laux. And he's been a guest many times on our show. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
Thanks for getting up early. You sound.
It's not early for me. It's all right.
You're good. So basically, Jamie's child's been raising hell all over California, and your farm is what it sounds like.
No. They're being fine. It was a 9.2 day.
It really was. What an incredible day, incredible horses, and an incredible job by you and all the instructors that were there. It was fantastic.
Well, thank you, but it was nothing to do with me, really. I just oversaw the thing, and it was unbelievable how much progress they made yesterday.
Now, did you expect them to make that much progress?
Heck no. Not a chance. I mean, a 9.92 day is rare as hen's teeth, and I thought if we had done 60% of what we did yesterday, I'd have been very happy with it.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to be a part of it. So what's in store for these horses today?
Who knows? I didn't know yesterday, so how would I know today? I announced yesterday at noontime, when we got going with the body of horses that we're dealing with, I announced that I was really going to step back and let the students take the flow, you know, and create whatever it is that we could create. Naturally, I speak up and I guide, and I have some wonderful instructors here that really are on the ball. And I just sat up in the bleachers, let's say. It's just a ramp that you sit over the gentling pen there. And I let it happen. And it was amazing. They moved. And I have such a diverse group of people. I have two board members there that are in a generation ahead of Jamie's generation. Each could be parents to Jamie's age, and all the way down to a little girl from England that's 21, is our youngest. But girls and men, great big guy. Gabriel is a great big guy with a challenging horse that he brought along with him. And then I have a manager type from a very important thoroughbred operation in England in her early 40s. And I have a Cardiff girl from Wales, one from Vancouver, Washington. But the Cardiff girl from Wales is a tomboy raised, doing wild things on horses, jumps horses. Instead of running around the barrel, she jumps a horse right over the barrel, sitting out in the middle of the arena, bareback, with a little rope around its neck. now, this lady, you know, has handled horses since she was a child, and she's 29 now, and she is so much promise to be a world-class horseman here. And if you think that doesn't make this old man happy and gratified and excited about the future, the world is changing, whether people realize it or not. The world is changing rapidly away from violence and force and pain in training horses. And it's clearly obvious that I have out here group of people that will head that change. They will head that change. Jamie is going to help head that change.
Well, I'm just so inspired by it. And, you know, as with my thoroughbred that you haven't seen yet, Monty, you know, I'm the only eventer out there with no spurs and no whip. And it's really exciting to me to kind of be a part of that change. I am, like you said, in one of the videos I've watched, you know, training a horse, like in the absence of violence, ramps up the fun 1,000,000%. It really does. To figure out nonviolent ways. There's no hit the horse with the whip here. There's no carrot stick that you have to, you know, whap them with or move them around and move them off. Everything is slow and gentle and incremental, and it's just such a great system, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I can't thank you guys enough for having this clinic and hosting it.
Well, it's an easy thing to do, and you know, if I didn't love what I do, I wouldn't be doing it. I don't have to do it, and I thought I was going to be fishing by this time of my life. Dry fly fishing, I loved it. And now it drives me crazy. I got to get going because there's too much going on in the horse industry and too many people need me. And to prove that kind of thing, at 5 o'clock yesterday, we all got on our horses and went for an evening ride. And I think I was able to help Jamie, and I'm excited about the opportunity to help her more. And this was extracurricular stuff. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm having, you know what happened last night, Jamie? This girl, Joanna from Cardiff, after we finished riding at 6 or 6:30, we came up and there were still some deer around the house. They were trying to see if anybody was around and paying any attention to them. And there were 32 deer in the infield of my racetrack last night with the drought out here. They've found a spot in the infield that isn't eaten down, you know. And there were 32 deer in the infield and some nice, really big male deer, too. But Joanna comes up here to the house, and she's staying in a little log cabin that I have. And so there were some deer around the house. This lady sat down, put a little portion of grain out in front of herself, and these deer came over, and this lady rubbed on two of my deer, two of these wild deer. They've never been in a cage. They've never been in any way raised on a bottle or some silly thing like that. They're wild deer. And she literally stroked two of those deer before my eyes. Now, I can stroke them, and I've got 8 of them that I've touched in this family group right now. But for her, on the third day she's here, to even be able to sit around them is amazing. But she has taught herself to breathe right and get her adrenaline down and have no intention of causing harm. And the deer know it. They can read it. And that's the same thing with the horses. And these deer are 100 times more sensitive. So they're great teachers because they charge you a big price when you get it wrong. Oh, you can tell. I'm so excited about having these folks here. I've had about 5 clinics in a row, and they've all been good. But this one, I don't feel any responsibility. They're all people that have seen, touched, and thought about the behavior of horses before. And it's just like having a group of friends in and watching things happen that really are earth-shattering and groundbreaking. They're really cutting-edge things of the nature of non-violent training or violence-free training. And it's global. We're represented here by England and the United States and Canada and also Wales, which doesn't think they're a part of England, but, you know, they're still there. But, yeah, and then our Canadian girl is a challenged girl, and I won't go into it too much, but doesn't she fill your heart when she's out there doing these things, Jamie?
She does, and she has such a nice, soft touch and soft way about her, and I almost feel like the horses read her vulnerability and respond to that.
That's so true. That's Maria, and she's just a special person. I'm not sure of all of her challenges, but I think it's probably spina bifida or something like this. And I didn't think I could put her in the pen with these wild horses. And I thought the same thing about those people in their 60s. I didn't think that I could put them in the pen with them, and they're out there leading wild horses around as if they were halter broken on the second and third time the horses have ever been in the gentling pen.
it's really incredible. And Glenn, did you know that the average adopter of Mustangs, the BLM did a survey and found that they surveyed people that adopted wild horses, and it was what was it, Monty, to get the halter on?
Yeah, to get the halter on, average is about 11 months.
Wow.
For them to get their halters on. And we got the halters on, led them around, and led them back to their pen. I mean, obviously, it's not, you know, kiss, kiss, here you go, let's go. I mean, they're still wild horses. But the fact that they trust enough at this point to be haltered and to be led back to their stalls was just awesome. And it took no time at all and no violence. It was just such a beautiful thing to have him. What really has to happen for these lessons, and this is where Monty and the instructors here are so wonderful and so important, is they stand right behind you. I tell you, I was leading around the one that I was leading yesterday, and I just got nervous. I get nervous in front of all the people, and I don't know. And the horse was nervous, and I was nervous, and one of the instructors goes, "Hey, breathe." And I took this huge deep breath because I didn't realize I was holding my breath, and the horse took a deep breath, and we walked off together. And it was just one of those moments where I don't think I would have thought of that had I not had somebody sitting over telling me that I needed to breathe. And, you know, you get so excited and nervous and tense, and to have somebody right there telling you, this is what you need to do. If anybody has an opportunity to come here and learn, please take it, you know, do a clinic here, because it'll definitely change your life and your perception of, I thought I was good. You know, I thought I was a pretty good horse chick, you know, and now I get here and I'm like, wow, these people are good. Like, I know nothing. These guys are good. But I hope to learn, you know, and be better. And I've learned so much already. It's just incredible.
Well, Monty, before we run out of time here, I Jamie said that I have to ask you about something, and in the midst of all of this, Monty, I'm looking at your webpage here. You took time out and got to ride in the 4th of July parade there in Solvang. Looked good, you and Pat and everybody out there riding in the parade.
Yeah, it was fun. It was great fun. That's on the Willing Partners horses. Yeah.
And now, Jamie said, I was supposed to ask you something about the last time you went to England and airport security.
Oh, my word. That's quite a story. Yeah, I worked with the Royal Marines in Plymouth down at a place called Bickley Stables. They have a little horse facility for the Marines down there, for the Marines and their family. And what I did is I worked with PTS, post-traumatic stress victims coming back from the wars that England struggles with us with as partners. And I've been doing this now for years, and it's so gratifying to work with these people and have them change in a three-day clinic, like dramatically change for the better. And they awarded me a Royal Marine honorary member. So that's nice. And they gave me like a trophy, and it's in a shadow box behind glass. It's a commando's dagger, and they're ominous looking things. And it's the real thing that they would night fight with their black suits on and the whole thing. Commando's dagger. And I thanked them very much. They had a dinner for me and stuff. thank them very much. And I'm going back to the place where I was staying. And I thought, how do I get home tomorrow with this dagger? How do I get it on the airplane? And so I called California. I had California call United Airlines and give them a message that I'm coming through with a dagger. And they said, no problem at all. It goes in a check bag. You have to roll it up in some dirty clothes or something and put it in a check bag and let them know at check-in about it. And I did let them know at check-in. And the lady looked at me like I had two heads. And she said, no dagger is going on this plane, check bag or not. And I said, you have a message somewhere that I can do this. I don't know and I don't care and so forth and so on. So I said, I need to see your supervisor. And she leaves her position there and goes and gets a guy, and here she comes back with this guy, and he comes up and said, you what? What do you have? And I said, I have a Royal Marine Commando's dagger, and it's in this suitcase. And he said, you do not. You have a passport from the United States, and people outside the UK are not awarded a commando's dagger. I am a Royal Marine, retired, and I've never heard of such a thing. So he said, I have to see it. So I had to get my bag open at this place, unroll, I had duct tape around it, unroll the thing, and take out this dagger. And he held it in front of him as if it was a chalice, and he said, I'm taking this dagger, and I'm personally escorting it through. And I will wrap it back up and put it in your bag, and it will be in California in about 10 hours. And it was. And I have it on my wall now, and I'm just so proud of it. Not that daggers are a part of my life, but the meaning behind it. What?
It's such a beautiful award to get. It's such a nice award, and it's a beautiful frame, and it's really nice. And also I do want to mention that on the way to England, when the security says, Mr. Roberts, why are you coming to visit our country? Tell them what you had to say.
Well, there is a lady in England that is a world leader now for 66 years. That is just the most influential person, world leader, on this globe for good. This lady has influenced for good more than any other world leader ever to live. You all will know that someday when she's gone. But this lady has chosen me in 1989 and from there forward to be the guiding factor in her horses. Whether they're the ponies from Scotland or the racehorses or the carriage horses, the household cavalry, I'm called in to, you know, give advice and train the people who do the work. And she rides 4 to 5 times a week now. I'm at 89, next year is 90, with a student of mine, Terry Pendry, who is absolutely just, she could not find anybody that's better. And he's there because I recommended him. And he is not, as you know, England has this familial situation. You have to be born into the right family to be in positions like this. It's been that way for thousands of years. But there he is, a commoner selected by the Queen to be her constant partner in this business of riding her horses, and it's just so gratifying, and I get to work with her and see her 4, 5, 6 times a year and work with all the babies that go to the racetrack for her. It's just a wonderful thing, and when I go through in there and say those things, they think I'm delusional, you know, but I have now a letter from her saying, yes, he works for me, he works with me, and you let him through security without any problems, and it works like a charm.
Does that? Can I get one of those letters too? Can you copy that, Monty, and send it over to me?
Sure.
Can you imagine going through airport security? Yes, Mr. Roberts, we see here you're coming through. What are you here for? I'm here to see the Queen.
Yeah, and Joanna, who's on this course, my last trip, I had four letters from people that the Queen just had to hear. So Joanna read these letters to the Queen in our meeting, and that was a special treat for her. And I have a man coming to the next military clinic called James Cooling, and he's from England, and he sat at the door of the tack room where we met the second day, and the Queen admitted that she had never had a meeting in the tack room before, but she was ready to ride, and I said, let's don't waste time, we'll have a meeting in the tack room. So she was all dressed in her riding clothes, and then we had the meeting, and off she went, waving to us. She's just the most wonderful person on the face of the earth for me. I mean, that's me.
So great. Well, I look forward to the rest of our day and exciting adventures, and thank you so much for helping me with Thor yesterday. You made my year.
Well, we've got more work to do on that.
Yes, we do. Still got more work to do, but you gave me a really heck of a good start, and I really appreciated it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll see you down at the classroom in a few minutes. How about that?
Yep.
Thanks, that's Monty. Cool. Good to talk to you again.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you go. He talks about the Queen being influential, but Monty's methods and nonviolence are starting to make headway into places that we never thought we'd see them in South America, mm-hmm. in countries that, you know, violence has been the norm. You got to listen to one of the last Horsemanship radio shows that Monty was on, talking about the work they were doing with the police departments in South America and how mm-hmm. they've gone and really, you know, and they're, what they're talking about is, changing the way they train the police in the academy, in the police academies. And they're using Monty's teachings. He's also written books for people. And they're using Monty's teachings, and they've reduced the number of, the number of people killed by these graduating classes down to almost zero, and it really is working. So, he talks about the Queen, but he's been a force in that too. So,
well, it's hard to even wrap your brain around all the amazing things he's done. But walking, I was just honored enough to go up to his house. Debbie took me up there and showed me the awards and pictures on the wall, and it's all so true. I mean, there's evidential proof of everything. Here's the dagger I want, and here's a letter from the CIA, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and it's all right there on the wall. And Chad, my husband, has just been blown away by Monty. He's got some Air Force things that have to do with the Air Force, and Chad's like, oh my gosh, like, people don't have that. He's like, I don't even know how I got that. That's not even a thing to do it at all. And Monty has these awards that they just make awards for him. He's just, and I get to spend all day for the next 2 weeks with this guy, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, let's do this. Let's see if we can get you a better connection. We're going to take a break. Yeah, we're going to take a break for a commercial and then our song. And then hopefully Jamie will be back on Skype, and we can have a little better connection here than on our phone. We have some news to cover that's not related to Flag Is Up Farms, and also maybe a list or two before the day is done. So we have more to come here on Horses in the Morning. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it. And Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
Brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old. Gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed cause it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. They was faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yeah, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Back on Track is a revolutionary line of pain relief products for horses and humans. Utilizing ancient Chinese experience, modern scientific findings, and skilled textile production, we have developed a line of products made of polyester fabric with ceramic powder melted into the threads. This ceramic-infused fabric reflects body heat as infrared waves, a form of energy that has a documented pain-relieving effect. It can reduce inflammation, ease muscle tension, increase blood circulation, and boost the healing process. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your muscles before exercise or work, thereby reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, they can also expedite the recovery from established injuries. Our wide range of products for horses includes blankets, coolers, saddle pads, boots, and wraps. We also offer a number of products for humans, including back and knee braces, gloves, bedding, and clothing. Back on Track is used by the top equestrians in the world, including McLean Ward, Stefan Peters, BZ Madden, Michelle Gibson, Margie Engel, and Debbie McDonald, just to name a few. Stefan Peters is one of the best dressage riders in the United States.
We've been using the Back on Track products now for approximately 4 years, starting with the leg wraps and the blankets. We've seen and noticed wonderful results from these products. We've no longer used poultice in our barn. The horses come out with much tighter legs, seem to have many less ailments, and the side effects of using poultice are not noticed, obviously, using the Back on Track wraps. Using the blanket, the horses have far less back trouble, far less irritation, allows us to do less veterinary treatments on the horse's joints, as well as chiropractic work. And we really feel that it's been a huge improvement for us and helped us have some great results.
You can find Back on Track products at most major retailers. Find them on the web at backontrackproducts.com or on Facebook. Just search for Back on Track products. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. Do we have you back? Jamie, are you sounding better?
I am here. Can you hear me?
You sound much better. Let's hope that stays. Well, we have to start the news. I can't start the news. First of all, we are trying to find out if Dawn Deems is listening. Maybe she could post on our Facebook page. We've had some listeners ask where they can see Cosmic One race today, what network it's going to be on. And Jennifer can't seem to locate it because TVG's website just sucks. So if you could let us know which website or which TV station is covering it, we can let everybody know that before the end of the show today. I can't start the news without starting with this because you wouldn't want it any other way and you'd probably quit the show. And that's Chris Hemsworth on horseback. The Daily Mail has an article. Jennifer will post a link to it. It's in our news section there, Jennifer. It's Chris Hemsworth on horseback. Do we need to say anything more?
Yes, we need to say more because I viewed the pictures and the guy can ride and he's on like almost, it looks like a Frisian, maybe a Frisian cross.
They always use Frisians for movies. They don't use anything else. So
he's reprising his role as the huntsman. So if you saw Snow White and the Huntsman, he was the huntsman in that movie.
Is that what this is for?
Yes, and it's a prequel. You obviously didn't read the article.
I didn't read the article, to be honest with you.
Well, I was like, this can't be real. I mean, this can't be. It's from the past. And no, he's reprising his role. It's a prequel. They're filming it now. And that unhappy Kristen whatever, I don't think is even going to be in it. So hopefully it'll be just more focused on him. And I just look at these pictures of this beautiful man riding a black horse through the woods in leather. I mean, he's wearing leather. It's just too much for a Wednesday morning posting.
And how did you, if you had to, you know, if you had to give him a riding lesson, all I saw was his heels were down.
His heels were down. He looks good on the horse. You know, he's got his kind of feet out in front of him a little bit. He's cantering. Oh, I say nothing. I say nothing, but you know what? He could do a little bit different. Yeah. He could take his shirt off.
That's the other movie. That's
it should be every movie.
I'm sure there will be a point in this movie where his shirt is off. I think it's like required, isn't it?
It has to be.
Jennifer will post a link for those of you who want to get an eyeful this morning on our Facebook page. You'll find it over there. There's another thing involving racing that's going on right now. It's being live streamed today. You know, we have a lot of our listeners who are anti-racing people, and then we have a lot of listeners who are into racing. And for both of them, the 6th Welfare and Safety of the Racehorse Summit is happening today, and it's being streamed live at jockeyclub.com. And what this summit is meant to do, the topics being covered are racetrack surfaces, the equine and jockey injury databases, continuing education, and post-mortem programs. And they have a lot of big speakers and all that. And, you know, some of these speakers have more letters behind their name than I didn't even know was possible. this one guy, Tim Parkin, get this, has a BSc, a BVSc, a PhD, a DEC VPH, and an MRCVS.
Do you know what made that? M-O-N-E-Y.
And he works at the University of Glasgow. I think they just make them up. We should make up our own letters behind our names.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious. Yes. Everybody would be like, hi, my name is Jamie Jennings, PVC DVD.
H-H-I-T-M, host, horses in the morning.
Yeah. H-O-S-T-O-F-H-I-T-M. Yeah. Like, just totally spell things behind your name.
Well, guess who is hosting this event at the Jockey Club about safety? Name everybody's going to know, Donna Barton Brothers. Donna
nice. Brothers.
Yeah, she's the host there. Now, this is an important event. It's only the fifth year, but listen to what's come out of these in the past. This Racehorse Summit has brought, because of the Racehorse Summit, we have the Equine Injury Database, we have the Jockey Injury Database, we have the Racing Services Testing Laboratory, we have a Uniform Trainer Test and Safety Guide, and the annual publication of Durability Statistics by Stallion. So all of those things, which are especially the Jockey Injury Database and the Equine Injury Database, are things that they're using to really change racing for the better, and all have come out of this symposium every year. So good for them. Wow. A lot of work being done there. I know there's a lot of our fans that don't like racing because it is unsafe, and just like any other horse activity is unsafe, to be honest with you. What Jamie doing yesterday wasn't exactly, you make it as safe as you can, but she was dealing with wild horses yesterday, you know. Things happen, and I'm glad to see that they're doing this and continuing to do it.
I'll tell you what, the summit and what they do there, I can only imagine is great. I mean, all it does is promote and protect the welfare of the horse. So racing is going to happen whether people like it or not. And I'm glad that there are organizations like this that are trying to make it better and safer. You guys know I'm anti-whip in the tracks, and I'm anti-drugs, and I'm anti all that stuff, and let's just get down to the sport. And that's what these people really want to do, and they want to get, I don't know about the whip thing, but they want to get down to making it better and making it safer, and I think it's a good thing. And I'm glad Donna Brothers is on the board. That's really cool that she's going to host it.
Do you want to hear something that's unsafe? And unsafe, you know, it's been on my bucket list to go to the Calgary Stampede at some point.
I saw this story. I knew you were going to talk about it.
I have to. It's been on my bucket list to go to the Calgary Stampede. But I can tell you that I would probably do it a more traditional way than this guy. So I'm trying to find this guy's name. Daniel Boria. Okay. Daniel Boria. Now, he actually lives in Calgary, but he has a business there in Calgary, and he wanted some extra publicity for his business. So he thought he'd have this brilliant idea of taking 100 balloons filled with helium and hooking them to a lawn chair. And then his idea was that he was going to take and he was going to hook all these balloons to the lawn chair, and he was going to fly over the Calgary Stampede, and he had a parachute on, and he was going to jump off and parachute into the Calgary Stampede. What could possibly go wrong?
It's like starting the sentence with, hey, y'all watch this.
You know what's so funny about this? We just watched Up again for about the 80th time about 2 weeks ago. And, of course, you know, the entire movie of Up is his house hooked to these balloons. So it's just what I thought of when I saw this. Apparently, he sat in the chair and began floating over Calgary. And then he didn't have any device to steer because because you really can't steer a hot air balloon. So he got to the point where he was so high at cloud level that he became a little worried. And so he jumped from the chair, he deployed his parachute, and ended up landing in the green space and rolled his ankle, causing a minor injury. He has also been arrested and faces one count of mischief, causing danger to life, is what they have up there. And he has since been released. But it got him some publicity. It did do that.
Well, you know what? It got him publicity, but by God, it didn't say what his business was, and there was no, like, name on the balloon or anything. I love the fact that the reason he's in trouble was because he could have caused injury to somebody when his chair actually fell. And the fact that he jumped out because he was like, oh God.
Oh, God, we're getting high here.
Getting a little high. I thought that you couldn't do that. I just thought there's no way you could put enough balloons on
something. Oh, it's happened many times before. And the other thing that in the United States they'll get arrested for is interfering with aircraft. So now what he forgot and the other ones have done in the past is they bring BB guns with them and they shoot the balloons out one at a time so they can start a slow descent, or if they get too high, they start shooting the balloons out and that's how they come down.
Now you're in a let me paint the picture for you. You're in a lawn chair floating above with balloons, wearing a parachute, carrying a gun. This is not a good idea, Glenn. None of this is a good idea.
Chad has to have seen one of these in his flying time.
Oh, my gosh.
There's been a couple people that have done it in the past. Nobody's had a parachute, though. So this guy at least had something.
I'm like, he had a thumbtack and he should have popped his balloon. No, that's hilarious. I can't believe somebody did that.
I'm just glad to see it was in Canada and this kind of crap doesn't only happen in Florida. It actually happens somewhere else outside the United States.
Yeah.
Hey, this is not a happy story, but it ends up that there's a happy twist to it. And that's in Montgomery County, Texas. And I'm doing all the stories here, by the way, because I know you didn't have time this morning to check them out. But in Montgomery County, Texas, a judge has awarded the Houston Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the SPCA. And they're the ones that were on that TV show for a long time about the rescuing animals.
Yeah. That's, the Houston, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Houston one, wasn't it? SPCA? I think it was. They used to go out into the horses in the middle of nowhere and stuff. Well, they have, they came across this farm that was, apparently they were reported. They went out and checked it out. It is the Premier Star Ranch. And they got a search warrant and searched the property and found 200 malnourished horses, some that had died already. The only reason we don't usually talk about these stories, but this is such a large story. And what's happened as a result of this, the positive that came out of this, is they did get control of the horses, so they can do something about it. They managed to get 100 of them back to their property at the Humane Society, but they don't have room for all of them. So they've left the other 100 there at the farm, and they're taking care of them there. The people were arrested.
200 horses. 200. Are you kidding me?
Well, what has happened is the local people, horse people in that area, have come out in droves with food and bedding and just have come out to help in a way that they have never seen before. So the positive side of this story is that the horse people are stepping up and they're coming out and they're helping with hay and food and everything that's going to be needed. And they said that they're going to maintain custody of the horses until the court rules that they get permanent custody. Right now they have temporary custody. And in the meantime, they're responding to rehabilitative care and they'll be adopted out as soon as the court grants them permission to start adopting them out. And I think that all of these will be adopted out. Texas will come through for these horses. I have no doubt about it.
Well, if you don't follow them on Facebook, you can actually follow the Houston SPCA on Facebook. And I don't know if you want to, because you'll, I'm like, twice I've been like, can I get a dog shipped over from Houston? Because they do like the dog stories and the rescue stories on there, and they throw out adoptables. But just to know what this organization is doing, it is a very impressive SPCA.
It is.
Very impressive.
They were fun to watch in that show, although some of the cases were just like, I had to stop watching that show after a while. It just made me want to cry every time.
Arizona did one too. It was one of those shows. Gosh.
Oh, and the one that was really really bad was they did one up in Chicago or Detroit. And, ugh, the things they got into up there were completely different than Texas. But, man.
Just amazing. Hey, you know what I'm ready for, Glenn?
Yes.
It is 7:15 Wednesday morning. It is time for a study show. Because you haven't done one in a while.
Oh, I haven't done one in a while. No, you're right, but I do have it here. It's the July Studies Show. And this is the point where once a month I take a look. I just go to Google and I put study show in the Google search. And I look through the news stories over the last month and see what ridiculous things we're spending our money on studying. And I found some. I found some for this month.
Really? You found some?
I found some. You know, we have never had a month in 5 years where I haven't found ridiculous studies. So here are the ridiculous studies. These are real. There were articles written about them. There's white papers written about them. People spent money on these. Now, very rarely do I ever look into the studies to see what they actually are, because from the title, you can just tell you don't need to.
Yeah.
So here we go. These are July studies. The rich studies show the rich really do get richer.
Wow. Make your money work for you.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. Studies show serious health dangers in not getting a sufficient amount of sleep.
Uh-oh. I gotta go.
But did you need a study to tell you that? Or was your body telling you that already this morning?
Yeah. Exactly.
So studies show, now get this one. Now, when the first atomic bomb was back in the 1940s, 1945 in Japan, we're just doing a study now that shows that radiation is harmful.
What?
That's the study show, radiation is harmful. Oh, there's a lot of people could tell you that. A lot of people could tell you that without spending millions of dollars.
That's really smart.
Studies show that drinking problems are increasing. Well, there, once again, I could have watched the news one evening and I could tell you that drinking problems are increasing.
Yeah.
Studies show, and followed by that, the next one, the next one after studies show that drinking problems are increasing was studies show that drinking wine can help drinkers lose weight.
Woo! So, well, then shouldn't we all be getting skinnier, yes. Not fatter? Something's wrong here. We need a study.
Hey, you're in wine country. By the time you come home after 2 weeks, you're going to be 10 pounds lighter, Jamie.
I might have to tell you that Debbie and I visited Monty's Wine Cellar on Monday night. And if you have wine in a wine cellar, it's good wine.
Now, is there restrictions? There's a little section that says fingers off.
Debbie actually asked her mother, Mom, we don't need something fancy. Just pick something out. And she goes, they're all fancy. I was like, yay!
Was it good? Was it good expensive wine?
It might have been the best wine I've ever had, and I don't even know what it was. It was just red, and it was delicious.
Was it California?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Of course
just
it
checking,
was.
Just checking. How about studies show that cherry juice is tart?
Somebody made money for that.
Yes. You could have done that study and probably made, what, 100 grand. You could have just tasted it and went, yep, it's tart, wrote an
article.
Somebody
bring me some blueberries and some money.
And 100,000, yep. Studies show concussions can affect school performance.
You mean brain injuries might slow me down in the education department?
Yes,
no.
Yes. How about this? Studies show being poor affects your brain.
Yeah.
I could probably have guessed that one too. You know, malnourishment and, you know, not eating properly and all of that probably had something to do with it.
Well,
studies.
I've been poor and I was not a smart girl.
So once again, you could have done this study another 100,000. You'd be up to 200,000 now. Studies show that media coverage actually makes women's sports seem more boring.
What?
Media coverage
makes women's sports seem more boring.
So what that's saying is that ESPN tries to make women's sports boring is what that's basically saying, right?
Okay, but more boring? That means that
yes,
they're boring
to begin with.
And then now they're more boring.
Right.
That is really actually offensive. I'm going to Google that and I'm going to send a nasty letter.
I just read the headlines.
Chad and I went to an Irish pub last night. And on TV, on every TV was WNBA.
Oh,
and
really?
We're like, oh my God, please turn this off. This is awful. Like, not only is it women's sports, it's women's basketball. And it was just the double whammy for me.
And we have no problems with women playing basketball. It's just that Jamie and I, neither one of us like basketball that much.
Well, so. I was forced to play basketball for 15 years. And now I hear the squeakiness on the court.
Oh, the court.
The squeaky shoe and the court. And it makes me crazy. And the fact that it was women's basketball made me more crazy because it's like somebody who went to war and has flashbacks. I have flashbacks of being in a gymnasium running suicides. I hate basketball now. I can't watch it.
God, when I was playing that all those years, you must have just been cringing every time.
Well, I think I was pretty clear that that was an annoying sound.
That basketball buzzer either brings back happy memories of your childhood or not. One or the other.
Awful. I hope my dad's listening. It's all your fault for making me play basketball.
They only made me play for like 2 years because I sucked so bad. You must have been pretty good.
I was pretty good. And so, but Dad, seriously, am I really going to be a professional? I'm 5'3". I'm not going to college on a basketball scholarship. It's not going to happen. Let it go. Still to this day, we'll be sitting at dinner and go, she was so good. She was such a good basketball player. You should have stuck with that. Dad, let it go. I'm 37. My God.
Maybe if the net was 6 feet instead of 10, you would have been better off.
Maybe if everybody else was my height.
Studies show.
See what you did? See what you did to me? I'm checked out. I'm angry now. My back is up. I'm tense. I gotta breathe.
Well, here, you'll like this one. And this, after all the sharks they found in the Carolinas, here we go. Study shows animals most likely to kill you this year.
Oh, nice. I'm dealing with wild mustangs today. Thanks for that.
So you wanted to do the studies report today. Studies show videos of cats may improve your mood.
That's true. I watch YouTube videos with Lucas of cats, and we just laugh. Hilarious. Cat fail. Google cat. YouTube cat fails. Hilarious.
Now, this one is for you baseball fans out there, Jamie included. Studies show that Phillies fans are among the worst in grammar usage.
They're the worst, period.
You know, when all you say is the F word every other word, that would probably cause your grammar usage to be poor.
All they do is probably, I don't know, use the F word, and they boo. They just boo all the time. Terrible fans. Terrible.
All right, and then one last one.
The Mets. Sorry.
The Mets? Actually, I did look at that study, and now I forget which team was the best in grammar usage. I should look that up because I don't remember. But they took a look at all the teams, and I don't know if they were just, you know, if they were just counting the swearing coming from the stands or what, but I don't know.
Oh, I got to Google that. I need to find out.
You need to look at that. It was an actual study. And then studies show, last one, health improves when teens exercise.
What? That's money well spent. Hey, if you exercise, your health's going to improve.
You're going to get healthier. Yep. There you go.
Wrap this up. I got to get out of here. I got flashback basketball. I got to go watch some cat videos.
All right. Well, this will just take you through the day.
Why would you do that to me?
Just take you through the day. I can play. You want me to play something else addicting? Did you see the number of people who said they had the sheath cleaning song in their heads all day Monday?
Was I included in that?
You can thank me for that, people. You can thank me for that. Well, you have another great day. We have Mary Kitzmiller with us tomorrow morning live here on Horses in the Morning. And then Friday morning, we'll be back here. Jennifer, are we allowed to tease the guest? Is he semi-confirmed? Because we just need semi-confirmed.
Semi-confirmed. We're as confirmed as you can be when you are a world-famous, nearly rock star.
Okay. Can you tell us who we're going to be seeing on Friday here on the show? Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Crossing our fingers that on Thursday, we are going to
Friday,
none other than Justin Zayat, one of the team of owners of American Pharoah.
Are you excited about that, Jamie?
I'm so excited about it that I may throw up. No, just kidding. He's the one that threw up after the Kentucky
Derby
in the owner's box. Like, I think it's
hilarious.
He's
the son, right? Isn't
he's
the son?
Yep. He's very vivacious and fun to talk to. And I did have a bunch of teenage girls watch the Triple Crown with me and ask if he was single. So I've got to bring that up.
Okay. He'll probably answer it too. You won't have a problem with that. But yeah, that's a good get. And we have to thank one of our listeners for helping with that. Hopefully he'll be here. He was actually supposed to be here this morning and got tied up. So, you know, our luck with when we tease guests like this is not good. So I may have just jinxed it, but we'll keep our fingers crossed that that'll happen Friday.
If not, we'll get Monty Roberts on. I know where he is.
Okay. And if he does cancel out, we got to do really bad ads. So get your ads into Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. Brought to you by EquityMFG.com. Thank you, everybody. Have a great time, Jamie. Be safe.
Thank you so much. Chad and Lucas are leaving today, so I'm going to have
girls' night out. Woohoo!
Girls' night out.
Going to a movie. I know which one.
Magic Mike here. All right, guys. Bay Neuter Geld. Have a great one.